Hello, this is Eileen, and we're reading the Pantagraph today, Monday, February 24th, 2020. And we will begin on the front page with an article entitled City Eyes $41 Million in Capital Improvements. This is by Maria Negley, Bloomington. City staff will formally present the proposed $230.3 million budget with significant capital improvements planned for the fiscal year beginning May 1st. The budget is a 1.2% increase over this year's adopted budget of $227.5 million. The general fund, which is 48% of the total budget and used to pay for most operating expenses, is expected to increase from $109.1 million to $110.2 million. We're fortunate that the financial health of the city has been reflected positively in this coming year's budget, said Finance Director Scott Rathbun. Positive revenue trends in the current fiscal years have helped us budget some of those one-and-done capital projects, he added. It has helped us put more cash for equipment instead of utilizing borrowing for that, which puts us on a strategic path to being debt-free for that activity for the city and is going to be a cost savings in the long run. Significant capital improvements are planned in fiscal 2021, with a $41 million budgeted to fund 39 projects, said Rathbun. This year, that's up from $40.1 million this fiscal year. Staff will present the entire list when the City Council meets at 6 p.m. Monday at City Hall. We have seven or so projects in the $3.7 million capital improvement fund. Those are more of the one-and-dones that we refer to with, said Rathbun. We're going to be working on some of the parking garages. We do have an item in the capital improvement plan to budget for the design of O'Neill Pool. We'll have to look for additional funding for its actual construction. We do have an item in that budget for a new exhibit at the Miller Park Zoo. It's an anteater bush dog exhibit for $1 million. It will be executed only if we receive state grant money and donations. The $41 million in capital improvement expenses also include $8.2 million for street paving and sidewalk repairs, $12.6 million for larger road construction projects tied to the state motor fuel tax fund, which includes $7.4 million in safety improvements for Fox Creek Road, Bridge, and pedestrian walkways, and $4.5 million for the next phase of extending Hamilton Road between Bun Street and Commerce Parkway, $7.9 million for water, $6.4 million for sewers, $1.9 million for stormwater, and $300,000 for drug enforcement. Also at the meeting, the city will provide public notification of accelerated payments to the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund for four retiring non-union city employees who were hired prior to May 1, 2012. There are Parks Department Recreation Program managers Denise Balagna and Joyce McKeon, Police Department Administrative Assistant Carol Hare, and Information Services Director Scott Spruels. The accelerated payments are $37,659 for Bologna, $84,067 for McKeon, $81,696 for Hoare, and $110,661 for Sproules, assuming they do not use any of their accumulated sick leave or vacation time prior to retiring on April 30th. In Bloomington, the higher payments have been triggered by how retiring and other employees hired prior to May 1, 2012, choose to have their accumulated unused sick leave paid out by the city. The current structure has allowed sick leave payouts over the final 3 months of employment, which can spike the pay rate on which pensions are calculated. In some cases, that increase requires the city to make accelerated payments to the IMRF to cover added pension costs. The city ended the benefit after April 2020 for classified non-union employees and in labor contracts negotiated with several groups of employees represented by unions. Employees who wanted to retire under the current structure had to give notice by October 31, 2019, and retire no later than April 30, 2020. There will also be a representation by a representative of the U.S. Census about what people can expect with the 2020 U.S. Census as far as why it's important, the procedure, and the timeline, said Communication Manager Nora Dukowitz. Census data helps to determine a community's federal funding allocation, said Dukowitz. It's estimated here that for every person that does not complete the census, our community loses $17,000 per head over the 10-year period. Here's some local and state news. Senior professionals classes announced. Pantograph staff. Normal. Illinois State University's Senior Professionals Program will explore a variety of topics beginning March 3rd and continuing through May with the Academy of Seniors, Mornings with the Professors, Classroom Journey Trip, and a special program. The classes will be held at the ISU Alumni Center, 1101 North Main Street in Normal. Academy classes are $35 for members and $45 for non-members for 4 sessions, and $15 for individual session walk-ins. Morning classes are $35 for members and $45 for non-members for 5 sessions, and $15 for individual sessions. Participants can pre-register for full sessions or pay at the door for individual sessions. For more information or to register, visit www.seniorprofessionals.illinoisstate.edu or call 309-438-2160. Academy classes, Everyday Life and Music in the 18th Century, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., March 2 and 3, 9 and 10. Allison Alcorn, Professor of Museology, School of Music, ISU. Woman Suffrage, 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., March 24 and 25 and 31. April 1. Various topics and instructors. History and competition in the Horn of Africa, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., April 2, 9, 16, 23. Janice Jays, Instructional Assistant Professor, Department of History, ISU. The Evolution of Bloomington Normal. Where have we come from? Where are we going? 1:30 to 3:30 p.m., May 19, 21, 26, 28. Various topics and instructors. Morning classes. U.S. Tax System and Some Reform Proposals to Make It Fairer, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., March 27th, Bibik Adhikari, Assistant Professor of Economics at ISU. Mr. Rogers for Grown-Ups, Welcome to His Neighborhood, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., April 3rd, Richard and Carlene Watts, Social Justice Advocates. Martin Luther, Saint or Sinner, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., April 17, John Freed, Distinguished Professor Emeritus of History, ISU. What I Learned at Shakespeare Camp from 1993 to 2020, from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., April 24, John Stark, Artistic Director, Illinois Shakespeare Festival. Cruising around the historical block, Origins and Social Meaning of Rock and Roll, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., May 1st. April Schultz, Professor of History, Illinois Wesleyan University. Classroom Journey. A bus trip to explore Frank Lloyd Wright sites in Oak Park, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., May 12th, $110 for members, $125 for non-members. This includes transportation, admission fees, tour fees, snacks, lunch at Cafe De Luca, and boxed dinner. And finally, special program, The Growth of Executive Power and Its Challenge to the Constitutional System of Checks and Balances, 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., April 29, Robert Bradley, Professor Emeritus, Politics and Government, ISU, $15, payable at the door only, no pre-registration. Here are some Monday memos. Psychologists to speak about bias. Normal. Social psychologist Jennifer Eberhard will present Biased at 7 p.m. March 19 at the Center for Performing Arts Concert Hall, Illinois State University in Normal, as part of the ISU Speaker Series. Eberhard, Professor of Psychology at Stanford University, combines social psychological insights with technology to improve outcomes in the criminal justice system and beyond. Her book, entitled Biased, Uncovering the Hidden Prejudice That Shapes What We See, Think, and Do, looks into the effects of implicit racial bias, offers practical suggestions for reform, and takes the reader behind the scenes to police departments implementing her strategies. Next is How To Fest, set for March 7th. Clinton, Vespian Warner Public Library District in Clinton, will host a how-to festival from 1 to 3 p.m. March 7th. About 20 stations will be set up by local organizations, businesses, and hobbyists with demonstrations and hands-on activities for adults and children. Attendees may select topics of interest and learn about a topic or skill in under 10 minutes. The event includes refreshments and door prizes. For details or further schedule, visit the library or 217-935-5174. And next, nominations sought for Hero Award, Bloomington. The McLean County Republicans are seeking nominations for the McLean County Everyday Hero Award, a new award to honor volunteers in the county. The award comes with a $500 grant to the charity of the winner's choice. The criteria for nominees includes a minimum of 5 years of voluntary service in a charity or service organization, overall excellence in that service with significant impact on the organization's mission, and 2 letters of recommendation. More information and nomination forms are at McLeanCountyRepublicans.org under the McLean County Everyday Hero Award tab. Nomination deadline is 5 p.m. March 16th. The award will be presented at the annual Lincoln-Reagan Dinner, April 7th at the Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington. Next, Monday memo. Names sought for HCC Alumni Award. Normal. The Heartland Community College Alumni Association is seeking nominations for the Distinguished Alumni Award. The award recognizes notable Heartland alumni who demonstrate exceptional achievement in their profession and make a positive impact on their community. Candidates must have completed at least 30 semester hours at HCC, achieved success of an exceptional nature, and made a positive impact on the community. Nomination forms are available at heartland.edu/alumni/celebrate/distinguished. Nomination deadline is March 27th. Next, Obsidian re-released for distribution. Normal. Obsidian Speculating Futures, Black Imagination and the Arts, 2018 winner of the Council of Editors of Learned Journals Barnassus Award, has been re-released and is available at the Small Press Distribution. Speculating Futures features works of fiction, poetry, literary nonfiction, drama, criticism, and visual art through the lens of Afrofuturism. And next, readers needed for Read Across McLean County, Bloomington. United Way of McLean County and its group, Women United, again will sponsor Read Across McLean County on March 2nd in celebration of Dr. Seuss' birthday and to help to instill a love of reading among area children. United Way is looking for volunteers to serve as readers in about 50 classrooms with more than 800 students at several Unit 5 and District 87 elementary schools. Anyone interested in serving as a volunteer reader may contact Pat Grosso at United Way at pgrosso, that's P-G-R-O-S-S-O, at uwaymc.org. And finally, NCAACP members honored for service, Bloomington. 3 members of the Bloomington Normal branch of the NAACP are being honored during Black History Month for their personal and professional success and service to the community. Carla Campbell Jackson, First Vice President, and Willie Holton Halbert, Second Vice President, were recognized February 20th at the Illinois State House as individuals who embodied the spirit of Black History Month. The award for outstanding service in leadership will be presented February 27th in the Capitol Rotunda to Nikita Richards at the 6th Annual Black History Month Celebration. So now let's go to the Veterans Corner. Jerry A. Vogler, Sr. writes this column. Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution directs that every 10 years a census should be conducted to determine representation in Congress. The Census Bureau has been preparing for the 2020 census for several months. However, there are still staffing needs to conduct this year's census. The Census Bureau is asking veterans whose service to this country in the past makes them prime candidates to help with the census again this year. Be a census taker and gain extra income, flexible hours, weekly pay, and paid training. Apply at www.2020census.gov/jobs or call 1-855-JOB, that's 2020. Did you know President Trump has signed into law the Supporting Veterans in STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, Careers Act, which extends to veterans some specific National Science Foundation scholarship and fellowship programs and different kinds of grants. The NSF, an independent federal agency that invests in fundamental research in science and engineering, offers a variety of grants to scientists and students. The new law requires several reporting requirements as to grants awarded to veterans as part of the NSF-required annual reports to Congress. So here's a question. I am an Operation Enduring Freedom veteran. I am employed, but would like to change career paths to an occupation that has a bright future with the possibility of advancement. Are there growth industries that are looking for veterans to fill vacancies that might want an ex-GI? Here's the answer. In 2018, the healthcare industry surpassed retail and became the largest employment sector in the economy of the United States. The Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates that 2 million more jobs will be created by 2027. Officials at an education platform for healthcare careers called CARUS want to help fill those jobs with veterans and military spouses. Thanks to a grant from the Army Credentialing Assistance Program, CARUS wants to expand training of spouses and military members with its no-cost short-term training program that has an employment rate of around 80%. Browse CARUS, CARUS, online for more information. Did you know the Pentagon has released a list of military treatment facilities and clinics that no longer provide care to military retirees and active duty families as part of a shift in focus to better support active duty readiness? This process has been transitioning for several years with the implementation of the DEERS program, D-E-E-R-S. The DEERS program is a computerized database of military sponsors, families, and others worldwide who are eligible for TRICARE and other benefits. The DEERS program was designed to allow spouses and dependents of active duty personnel to use civilian health care at locations where military medical care was not available. Active duty military personnel have needs which are different and often exceed the expertise needed to serve non-military personnel. Provision of health care to non-active duty personnel was felt to diminish the readiness of military medical staff to properly serve active duty needs. In the Midwest, the Rock Island Arsenal and Fort Leavenworth and Fort Riley, along with several dozen other military facilities, will transition to serving health care needs of active duty military personnel only. These changes are slated to impact 200,000 retirees and active duty family members. Of those, about 80,000 are active duty family members, while the remaining 120,000 are retirees and their families. Next, policy change. The United States Air Force will allow some airmen to wear up to 2-inch beards under a new Air Force guidance that outlines grooming standards for religious accommodations. The updated policy also allows members of the Sheikh faith to wear turbans and Muslim women to wear hijabs. Airmen must have religious or medical exemptions to grow beards. The new accommodation guidance also permits Norse pagan service members to have beards which exceed normal Air Force standards. The Army made this same change in 2017. So today we're coming to the close of the first session, so let's read about today's flick fact. Today's question, why did founder G.K. Merchley locate State Farm Insurance in Bloomington Normal? Today's answer, a farmer in tiny Myrna, he told friends he wanted to locate his new company in a big city, and to him, Bloomington Normal was a big city. So today in history, today is Monday, February 24th, the 55th day of 2020. And there are 311 days left in the year. On February 24th, 1989, a state funeral was held in Japan for Emperor Hirohito, who had died the month before at age 87. On this day in 1582, Pope Gregory XIII issued an edict outlining his calendar reforms. The Gregorian calendar is the calendar in general use today. In 1761, Boston lawyer James Otis Jr. went to court to argue against rights of assistance that allowed British customs officers to arbitrarily search people's premises, declaring a man's house is his castle. Although Otis lost the case, his statement provided early inspiration for American independence. In 1803, in its Mabry versus Madison decision, the Supreme Court established judicial review of the constitutionality of statutes. In 1864, the first Union prisoners arrived at the Confederates' Andersonville prison camp in Georgia. In 1868, the U.S. House of Representatives impeached President Andrew Johnson by a vote of 126-47 following his attempted dismissal of Secretary of War Edwin M. Stanton. Johnson was later acquitted by the state. So we're going to take a little break now from the pantograph dated February 24th, 2020, and we'll be back. I hope you'll resume with our part two.